There may be instances during the life cycle of the export that there is a reduction in invoice value on account of repayment of the usance bills. Repayment of usance bill. Reduction in invoice value. And that too, usance bill. Usance bills means there is a longer period of realization, but not exceeding 9 months. Okay. Therefore, occasionally, exporter may approach to the AD bank for reduction in invoice value on account of cash discount which is provided to the overseas buyer for prepayment of usance bills. Number one instance, prepayment. If he makes the prepayment, jaldi paisa aa jata hai, then early realization happens, so he will give the discount to the overseas supplier. And that is a trade practice. AD bank allows such cash discount to the extent of amount of proportionate interest on unexpired period of usance. Unexpired, suppose bill is drawn for say 180 days, 6 months. And the customer, the overseas buyer says that instead of that, I am making the payment of within 90 days only. So what is remaining unexpired usance is 90 days, right? For that 90 days, the interest will be calculated at the appropriate reference rate on the value, entire value, that will be reduced from the entire value and balance amount will be made available for realization. Okay, so therefore, there will be reduction in invoice value and such a kind of activities are permitted. Okay. After the bill has been negotiated and sent for the collection, if amount is to be reduced for any reason, bank may approve the this kind of reduction, provided the reduction does not exceed 25% of invoice value. How much? 25% maximum reduction you can permit. Now, this particular export bill does not relate to export of the commodities which is subject to floor price index, floor price stipulation. Then exporter is not in the exporter's caution list of Reserve Bank of India, and exporter is advised to surrender the proportionate export incentive which he has availed from the customs or government of India. Okay. Now this is one event. Second event regulation is that change of buyer and consignee. Change of buyer. Prior approval of Reserve Bank of India is not required for change of buyer or consignee. When goods are exported to the first consignee or first buyer, and if he is not taking possession of the goods and making payment, and he is reluctant to make the payment, then the exporter has an option to find out the another buyer and asking the overseas bank to transfer those documents to the bankers of the new buyer and thereafter make the payment or export realization arrangement. That is permitted to the exporter. AD bank should ensure that the reduction in the value due to change in the buyer should not exceed 25% of invoice value. And the export should be realized within the earlier period which is stipulated, but not exceeding 9 months period. And when the reduction of value is more than 25%, all other relevant conditions is also satisfied. Okay. Now, export of the goods by the special economic zones. Conditions, whenever it is there, special economic zones, it's a completely different country altogether. So, the conditions are that the unit in SEZ is permitted to undertake the job work, permitted to undertake job work abroad and export the goods from that country itself, subject to the condition that processing and manufacturing charges are suitably loaded in the export price and are borne by the ultimate buyer, and the exporter has made a satisfactory arrangement for realization of full export proceeds, which is subject to usual EDF formalities. Bank also permits the units in DTA to purchase the foreign exchange for making the payment of the goods which are supplied by them, which is goods which are supplied to them by units in SEZ. That is, in DTA area, it will be considered as an import, and in SEZ area, it will be considered as an export. AD banks are permitted to sell the foreign exchange to units in DTA, that is local unit, for making the payment in foreign currency, and it goes to the SEZ. Okay? Then it must be ensured that the letter which is given as an approval, which is issued by SEZ unit, by the development commissioner of the SEZ, the provision pertaining to the goods or services supplied by the SEZ unit to the DTA, that is domestic unit, is for the payment of the foreign exchange for the same, should be mentioned. Okay. Now, extension of time. Many times it happens that goods are exported, but payment is not coming on the due date, and the overseas buyer continuously asking the exporter to give him some time for making the payment. This amounts to the extension. For that purpose, the exporter approaches to the AD bank, giving details of the document and requesting for the extension at a time not more than 6 months. Okay. So this kind of request can be processed or undertaken by the AD bank, subject to condition that export transaction is covered by the invoice which is not under investigation by any law enforcing authority or directorate of enforcement. Okay. And bank also should satisfy with the exporter that it has not been able to realize the export proceeds for a reason beyond which is his control, and the exporter submits the declaration that the export proceeds will be realized during the extended period which he has requested for. While considering such kind of extension beyond 1 year from the date of export, the total outstanding of the exporter should not exceed either $1 million or 10% of the average export realization happened during the preceding 3 financial years, whichever is higher. And in cases where the exporter has filed the suit abroad against the buyer, extension may be granted irrespective of the amount involved or amount outstanding. Okay. Now, further regulations for shipment which is lost in transit. Actually, goods carrying the vessel, when it lost in transit, when it is sunk in the sea, or it is overpowered by some of the pontoons, and theft is happened, and it is lost, wear and tear happen, or there may be some storm in the sea, and their goods have been lost. That means shipment has lost in transit. Then, when shipment from India, for which the payment has not been received, either by negotiating bill or by letter of credits or otherwise, are lost in transit, then bank must ensure that the insurance claim is made as soon as the loss is known. Where the claim is payable abroad, that means the insurance policy is taken from the overseas insurance agency, the bank must arrange to collect the full amount of the claim due on that particular lost shipment through the medium of their overseas branch or correspondent bank, and release the duplicate copy of the EDF only after amount has been collected from the insurance company. A certificate for the amount of the claim received should be furnished on the reverse of a duplicate copy of it. Now, coming down to another aspect to understand is export claims. There may be many times after realization also, there may be claim on the exporters. On account of what? One, relative export proceeds have already been realized and repatriated to India, and the exporter is not in caution list of the Reserve Bank. In all such cases of the remittances, the exporter should be advised to surrender the proportionate export incentive which is availed from the Government of India or customs officials. Okay, that is important regulation that needs to be followed. Now, coming down to understand another aspect, that is write-off of unrealized export bill. Write-off. Bill is not at all realized. Export goods sent, document submitted, document dispatched, time period is over, follow-up was done, then extension is also done. Still, the bill is not getting realized and value for the goods which are exported is not getting realized. Under such situation, there is a only option is to write off those bills. Okay? And while doing or undertaking such kind of write-off, the limits prescribed by the Reserve Bank of India for such a write-off bill for the companies as well as to AD Bank is required to be taken into consideration. The limits which will be related to the total export proceeds realized during the previous calendar year, shall be cumulatively available in a year. The write-off will be subject to condition that the relevant amount has remained outstanding at least for one full year and satisfactory documentary evidence is furnished. In case furnished in support of the exporter, which confirms that he has made a full efforts to realize this dues, and the case falls under any of the purposes or categories which is mentioned here. Number one is the overseas buyer has been declared as an insolvent and the certificate from the official liquidator of indicating that there is no possibility of recovery of the export proceeds that has been produced. Second, the overseas buyer is not traceable over a reasonably longer period of time. Third one, the goods which are exported have been auctioned and destroyed by the port authority or custom authority or health authority, whoever it may be, depending upon the type of goods exported. And fourth one, unrealized amount represents the balance which is due in cases which are settled through the intervention of Indian Embassy or Foreign Chamber of Commerce or similar organization. This unrealized amount represents undrawn balance of an export bill which does not exceed 10% of the invoice value. Remaining outstanding and turned out to be an unrealized despite all efforts which are made by the exporters. The cost of resorting the legal action against the overseas buyer is many times happens that it is a disproportionate. That means the value of the goods or value of the bill and the expenses to be incurred for taking the legal action is much more. Okay, under such circumstances, the exporter has no other option but to leave it as it is, and there is no point, even though case is won in the court of law, the realization will be always less than the value of the gold, value of the goods which are exported. So many times, even though the case is owned by the exporter and a decree is obtained, execution of that decree and getting realized the amount is a very difficult process. Okay, so the bills were drawn for the difference between the letter of credit value and actual export value between the provision and the actual freight charges, but the amount have been remained unrealized consecutively on the dishonor of the bill and the overseas buyer, and there are no prospectus of realization of that also. What type of bills or what type of transaction is not qualifying for the write-off? Not qualifying. Except these whatever mentioned here will be qualified, but export made to the countries where externalization problem is there. Externalization problem is there. That means the country doesn't have any foreign currency to make the payment. Under such situation, write-off is not permitted. Then EDF, which is under investigation by the agency like Enforcement Directorate, Directorate of Revenue Intelligence, that is DRI, Central Bureau of Investigation, that is CBI, and any other law enforcing authority, is also outstanding bills which is subject to matter of civil and criminal suit. These kind of documents are not eligible for taking for a write-off. Now, another regulation for the set-off of the export receivable against the imports payable. A single party where I am exporting and from the same party I am importing another type of goods. It may happens that the overseas party says the value of the goods supplied to me and the value of the goods which is supplied to you by me are almost same. Why unnecessary? You send me the funds and I am sending you the funds. Instead of that, let us set off. Let us set off. So the set off of the outstanding export receivable against outstanding import payment payable to the same overseas buyer or suppliers is permitted. This set off of outstanding export receivable against the outstanding import payable with their overseas group or associate companies either on net basis or gross basis is permitted through an in-house outsourced centralized settlement arrangement. Okay? The arrangement shall be the operationalized or supervised through by any one of the AD category bank. And unless the bank is satisfied with the bona fides of the transactions, in respect of the KYC, CML, CFT, etc., they will not permit. The invoices under the transactions are not under investigation by Directorate of Enforcement or Central Bureau of Investigation or any law enforcing authorities. Import-export goods services has been undertaken as per the extant foreign trade policy. The export and import transactions with ACU are kept outside the purview of this setting of process, and the setup of export receivable against the goods shall not be allowed against the import payable for services. So set off is not permitted for export and import of services. Okay? Bank shall ensure that the import payable and export receivables are outstanding at the time of allowing the set-off. And this set-off shall be allowed between the export and import leg, which is taking place during the same calendar year. Period and the outstanding period and outstanding time for payment, 1 year. In addition to that, in case of the bilateral settlement, the set-off shall be in respect of same overseas buyer and supplier, subject to being supported by verifiable agreement and mutual consent. That means there should be agreement in place. In case of the settlement within the group or associated companies, the arrangement shall be backed by the written legally enforceable agreement and contract. Okay? bank shall ensure that this type of agreement is in place before allowing the set off, and set off should not be result into the tax evasion or avoidance by any of the entities involved in such arrangement. The third party guidelines shall be adhered to the concerned entities wherever applicable. Bank shall ensure the compliance with all the regulatory requirements relating to the transaction, and they may seek the auditor's or chartered accountant's certificate wherever they feel it is necessary. And each of the export and import transactions shall be reported separately on gross basis in the FATRs or in EDPMS, IDPMS as it may be applicable. Bank to settle the transaction in IDPMS or EDPMS utilizing the set off indicator in the remark column mentioning the details of the shipping bill or bill of entry or invoice details that is being settled in the remark column, okay, including the details of the entities which are involved in it. When we understood the set off, now let us understand the netting off. Netting off of the export receivable against the import payments. And this facility is provided only to the units which are in special economic zones. Special economic zone, subject to condition that this netting off of export receivable against the import payment is in respect of the same Indian entity and the same Indian buyer, overseas buyer, or with a bilateral netting arrangement, and netting may be done as on the date of balance sheet and only once in a year. The details of the export of the goods and are the documented in form EDF, DTR. These are the two forms which are used in special economic zones, and details of the import of the goods services are recorded through the form A1 and A2 from the cases where the relative EDF will be treated as complete and designated AD bank only after the entire proceeds are adjusted or received. Both transactions of the sales and purchase are reported in R-return, that is reporting arrangement by the AD bank to Reserve Bank of India, and the export-import transaction with ACU countries are kept outside this arrangement. Now coming down to understand the exporter's caution list. Exporter's caution list is published generally by RBI, okay, on recommendation of authorized dealer banks and department, and which is depending upon the exporter's track record with the AD bank and investigative agencies. The AD bank can make a recommendation to the Reserve Bank of India to put any exporter in, to put any exporter in the exporter's caution list, okay, whenever they come to know the adverse notice of Enforcement Directorate, CBI or DRI in any such other law enforcing agency or on the exporter is not traceable for fulfilling the compliance which is required to be done by them, and he is not making the sincere efforts to realize the export proceeds. AD Bank is also making a recommendation to the regional office of the Reserve Bank of India for decaution listing an exporter as per the laid down guidelines, and further the bank should follow the procedure which is mentioned in the regulation for handling the document in respect of caution listed. They will intimate to the exporter before caution listing about their caution listing, giving them the details of the outstanding shipping bills, okay, when the caution listed exporter submit the shipping documents for negotiation, purchase or discount or collection, the bank may accept the document subject to condition that the exporter concerned should produce an evidence having received an advance payment or an irrevocable letter of credit in his favor covering the full value of the proposed export. In case of usance bill, the relative letter of credit should cover the full export value and also permit such a drawing. Besides that, usance bill should also mature within the prescribed period of realization of 9 months. Except under the above mentioned clauses, bank should not handle the shipping document for caution listed exporters. Bank should also obtain prior approval of the Reserve Bank of India for issuing the guarantees for such a caution listed exporters. Okay, now issuance of the electronic bank realization certificate, which is popularly called as EBRC. EBRC means electronic bank realization certificate. This is required to update in EDPMS first with the data of the export proceeds on as and when it is realized basis. With effect from October 16, 2017, they are required to generate the electronic bank required certificate, electronic bank realization certificate, only from the data which is available in EDPMS, and to ensure the consistency of the data in EDPMS and consolidated EBRC. Now, remittances connected with the exports. Agency commission. Earlier, it was so happened that on the bill of lading itself, the agent's commission is invariably mentioned on the bill of lading. But after few days or few years, this practice has been stopped. Therefore, the remittance of the agency commission may be allowed, permitted to be allowed by the AD bank to the agents on the request of the exporter is based on the certain typical conditions. Condition number one is amount of commission has been declared on the EDF subtex or accepted by the customs authorities or Ministry of Information and Technology, Government of India, EPZ authorizes, as the case may be. Okay, in case where the commission has not been declared on EDF and Softex as I inform now, the remittance may be allowed after satisfying the reason adduced by the exporter, provided by the exporter for not declaring the commission on the export declaration form, that is EDF, provided a valid agreement, written understanding between the exporter and the overseas beneficiary for the repayment of the commission exists, and the relative shipment has already been made. Okay, now after this agency commission, another aspect is refund of export proceeds. Many times it happens, export bills are realized and thereafter the claim comes that it is wrongly sent to you, you please return it. Under such situation, bank through whom the export proceeds were originally realized may be considered, bank may consider the request for refund of export proceeds of the goods which is exported from India and being re-imported into India on account of poor quality. Quality is not, we say goods are exported, but quality is very bad. That is why goods have been returned. So under the circumstances, meantime, if the payment is made by the overseas party, then they may put a claim on the bank, and under such situation, the goods, the payment is required to made by the AD bank. And that shall be on the basis of certain precautionary measures to be taken by the AD Bank, which consists of exercising the due diligence regarding the track record of the exporter. Second, verify the bona fides of the transactions. Okay? Then obtain from the exporter a certificate which is issued by the DGFT custom authorities that no export incentive has been availed by them. And if at all it is availed, that has to be repatriated or refunded back to the customs authorities. Not to insist on the requirement of the re-import of the goods, where exported goods have been auctioned, destroyed by the port or custom authority or health authority or any other accredited agencies which to whom they have been given authority to destroy in the importer's country, subject to submission of satisfactory documentary evidence. In all other cases, banks shall ensure that procedure as applicable to the normal export are adhered to for the purpose of the refund of export proceeds. And with this, we are completing with our discussion on the exports, particularly certain regulations and rules, and with the type of the transaction or type of export which is undertaken. Okay, with this small note, I conclude here discussion on our topic number 14. Thank you very much.